When this movie walked into my office, my heart skipped a beat. I thought, what's a pretty dame like that doing in a March release date like this? She glided across the beginning of the year in a way that made you anticipate her every step, and slid onto my screening calendar like she'd always meant to be there. In a sultry Austrian accent, she described herself as something different. But she had a problem. A lot of problems. And when you're just a lowly movie gumshoe, sometimes those kind of problems mean a case you can really sink your critical teeth into. I can't stand it. I know they planned it, but I gotta set straight the story of this movie, Sabotage.
I knew it was gonna happen.
Somebody had to do it. I was gonna get out of the way before anybody else could take credit for it. You know, at this point, I'm like, okay, yes, Alfred Hitchcock had a film called Sabotage, a great film, but everyone's kind of forgotten about that. But like the song Sabotage by the Beastie Boys is like probably the song of the decade that it came out in some ways. You're like, that's great. One of the most memorable, unforgettable songs of all time, like stuck in the American consciousness or even the European consciousness. They put out a movie called Sabotage. No song.
Not even in the trailer.
Not even in the trailer.
I can't believe the WWE couldn't get rights to that. You think?
Well, like I said, I'm not sure they actually produced this one.
Oh.
For some reason, Schwarzenegger went on WWE to promote his new film, Sabotage.
I can think of a few reasons. But who knows those guys?
Yeah, well, yeah, they probably like him. I'm just saying. But yeah, I don't see them directly on the producer's list. But either way, maybe they just want to work with Arnold, which you couldn't blame them. Yeah. This is the latest film from I Swear I'm Not Retired, Arnold Schwarzenegger, from David Ayer, who has actually had a pretty remarkable career, more so as a writer than anything else. Certainly Training Day was one of his.
He's kind of at that point now. You think cop movie and he's got something to do with it, some form or fashion.
Well, yeah, most recently End of Watch, his last film in 2012, which had a lot of acclaim, but I don't think it made a huge amount of money at the box office. I thought it was a pretty good movie, though, myself.
Yeah, and looking at his filmography, I think there's a lot of things that are underrated, like Harsh Times, I think, is a movie that's gone past a lot of people, but Christian Bale gives a really great performance.
I actually really enjoyed Street Kings.
It
was silly and kind of a B-movie, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love Street Kings. Street Kings 2, not so much.
I mean, yes, well, he had nothing to do with that. But, I mean, the guy started his career with a really fun, if not... like pretty lamely historically inaccurate U-571, wrote the first Fast and the Furious. I mean, this is a guy that I expect big things from. And him teaming up with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm like, well, this is interesting because it's not the first time he has worked with an actor who is not considered to be at the top of their game in terms of thespian skills. Keanu Reeves.
When was he at the top of his thespian skills? I'm not even going to critique it. I just want to know when you think it is.
When he's playing a robot.
I would accept that. Conan.
He's excellent at being completely emotionless.
Well, my favorite is in this movie when he speaks Spanish.
Right?
I understood it just as well.
You know, why can't he ever speak German? We know he can.
I mean, he does it in Escape Plan.
That's true. Yeah. He does. Huh. I forgot about that.
Nice one.
But here he plays the top dog of an elite DEA task force who, as we see right from the beginning, they're on like the big job, but there's something going on. There's something illicit. They busted into this huge mansion, killed a bunch of cartel guys. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't call them cartel guys anymore, according to the FBI. You have to call them,
DTOs.
Legally challenged. and they find this huge, just a mountain of money and then start setting into, you know, while they're the whole time on the radio back to FBI headquarters, secretly sort of stashing some of the money for themselves. Bad DEA agents. What about these characters is going to make us supposed to like them?
Well, I just like that between this and Breaking Bad, all I know about drug dealers is they like to stack their cash.
Yeah. They like
that's
making
classic banking
they
style.
They all grew up as Lego fans. So they just like, let's just make them interlock together. But they leave and they go to find the money and it's not there. Somebody's taking this money. Flash to a while later. They've all been interrogated like crazy because somehow, even though we watch them blowing up the remainder of the cache, I mean, like, blowing it to pieces, the FBI knows there's $10 million missing from this shredded, burned pile of cash. I have no idea how that could be.
And all of that was just strange because I don't know if that's normal protocol to blow up a giant stack of cash.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they explained that one away, quite frankly.
And while they were standing, while they were in the middle of the raid, the FBI is going, hey, are you guys done yet? And go, no, give us a few more minutes. We're not quite done yet because we're stacking money.
The whole thing is really pretty suspicious all around and poorly planned, but it's Hollywood. Mm-hmm. they're basically the whole FBI is like, look, or DA is like, we know you guys are dirty. They're like, go fuck yourself. We're not dirty. We're dirty.
They're like, but you blew up the money.
Yeah, they don't know that. But Martin Donovan, who's the boss, finally is like, look, somebody from up high is saying to let this drop. So fuck you. Get back to work, I guess. Arnold goes back to gather the team together, which is made up of a bald, strangely disarmingly bald Sam Worthington.
Yep.
Morel Enos. Did you know where else we've seen her from? Because I was like, she looks really familiar. She's like that skitzed out redhead.
Definitely. Yeah, I couldn't really place
it. I guess The Killing was one of her big role.
Oh, that's on the TV series.
Of that. Let's see who, Josh Holloway, of course, who, like, yes, inside of me, I'm just constantly this whole movie making Lost jokes inside my own head.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. Who else was that? Oh, Terrence Howard, who you're like, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah.
He's like
Harold Perrineau, who just
well, he wasn't crops. Part of the team though.
No, he just kind of crops up every now and then, which is I was like, oh, he's still doing stuff. That's good.
And then there was a couple other guys on the team who you're like, I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, but the big I forgot what they called him in Magic Mike, but one of the strippers from Magic Mike, the guy is a werewolf on True Blood.
No, Max Martini was in it. It was in Saving Private Ryan.
The guy with the Italian last name.
Joe Magniello?
Yeah.
Big
muscly bearded dude.
Who actually I thought gave the best performance of everybody in this entire
film.
Yeah,
he's actually really talented. He's been in a few other movies, and he's kind of flexed his acting muscles a little bit, and I think he's kind of on that cusp. I think he's going to be in a few more things coming out.
Despite having very unfortunate cornrows in this film. But they, you know, are like, okay, well, this is great. We'll get the gang back together. We'll all go back and start doing, you know, taking down evil people again, I guess, when somebody starts showing up and horrifically murdering them one at a time. Of course, they're like, oh, shit, the cartel knows we took some money and they're coming after us. But what do you do? So it turns into a sort of like run and hide, run and seek what's going on with Schwarzenegger in the lead of trying to figure out what's actually going on and teaming up rather reluctantly with the worst Olivia Williams giving the worst American accent I have ever seen an English actor do. It's like she starts off sounding like she's like from New York, and by the end of the film, she's deep South.
And in a way, I mean, I felt like that was kind of excused because this was obviously filmed in Louisiana, although they make really no reference to it. So it's kind of people having strange accents is probably the norm.
Yeah, but not usually like where it changes drastically, sometimes mid-sentence.
Sam Worthington was having a little bit of that too. He kept slipping into the Australian. Is he Australian?
Yeah, I think he's Australian. Accent. Yeah, there was but Olivia especially was like, I know you're a decent actress. Maybe playing an American character is just never going to be your strong point here. But she's a regular cop who is investigating the murders, ends up teamed up with Arnold to try and figure out what's actually going on here, as the movie kind of goes all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, actually, because she's a homicide detective, and they have her tracking down ex-Navy SEALs. But overall, she does a pretty good job for a homicide
despite
detective.
Despite the fact for, like, just slap your head falling for every single, like, gambit Arnold Schwarzenegger ever puts in front of her. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, this is what's going on. And then she gets all mad. And you're like, what did you think was going to happen? He's doing everything but telling you I'm playing you when she goes, you played me. And I just want him to say, duh.
You know what? He probably did, but she thought he was being sarcastic,
giving
him way too much credit.
I'm not giving anything away here, really. It's just that he doesn't really want to work with her. It's kind of in its own weird sort of way, playing with a bit of the buddy cop phenomenon.
They make it pretty evident that to do what it is that they do, you can never really be on the up and up anyway. So it's not, that far of a stretch to, for the audience to be like, there's something not quite right with what's happening here.
But I think my biggest problem with this ultimately was that it wanted to do too many things. Mm-hmm. And I, especially in the very final, the end of this film, which like brings you back to, you know, this thing that happened before the movie even started, turning it into a completely different film in its own way.
Yeah.
In tone. It's like, wow, suddenly we want to make this a Western. then the fact that I thought that every single character in this film is so utterly unlikable. There's such a self-involved redneck kind of piece of shit. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger is kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That it was, I'm sitting there going, who am I supposed to be rooting for here?
I don't know, though. I actually thought a lot of the dialogue was way better than it needed to be. Like, yeah. I thought I was kind of signing up for, like, muscly guys and probably a girl whose boobs I see.
Sure.
To shoot each other. And I laughed quite a few times. I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, I think they had decent punch-up dialogue. I'll definitely give you that. But even so, it was wanted to be a different type of film than that entirely. I mean, it is largely. That dialogue was necessary because otherwise I wouldn't have enjoyed probably anything about this, quite frankly.
Well, the ending is weird. The ending was definitely jarring. I'll definitely give you that. But yeah, it was the dialogue that I think kept my attention more than anything.
They're trying so hard to make it so gritty and so dark, and really at one point somebody in the audience went, now that's a rated R movie. Because it really is. It's so gory at points and nasty. I'm like going, did Schwarzenegger read the script before he signed on to this? This just doesn't seem like an Arnold role.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the route he's been going. Like, I don't know who he has in his camp telling him he should be in these really kind of ultraviolet movies, because The Last Stand was sort of that way. He jumps a dude on the roof, and as he's falling, shoots the guy in the head.
Right.
And it's,
but who hasn't been there? Come on.
I've done that. I mean, my cat has done
we're
that.
All young once.
Yeah. So, you know, he's doing these really kind of ultraviolet movies, and I mean, I don't know who's telling him to do that, but it does seem a little out of place for him.
It's not even so much it being ultraviolent as the tone that goes with it.
Because
this is, like I said, it's very dark. They're going for more of a noirish type thing. You don't know who to trust of anybody here, including Arnold. I mean, we're not used to him, unless he's playing a robot, playing like the villain, really.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Frost. But come on, nobody counts that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I think David Ayers is trying to capitalize on the success of shows like The Shield and like Breaking Bad. Where you know, nobody is really a likable character, but I mean, the thing about putting all that in a movie is you don't have the time to develop to like a character. Like, The Shield had 8 seasons, Breaking Bad had 6.
You know, they have to show that side of them that makes you want that makes them have more sides than just the dirty ass.
Yeah, and by the time you try to maybe sort of sympathize with what's happening with Schwarzenegger's character, it comes way too late.
Yeah, they finally bring up, like, okay, here's a reason why you should actually, like, feel bad for this guy and kind of like him. And yeah, it's like 3/4 of the way through the movie when they finally reveal it, even though it's not hard to predict what it is. But at the same time, and it's one of those that kind of plays its hand for how the entire rest of the movie is going to play out at that point. At least it did for me. I found that there's multiple little twists here as we get into the third act. And I found that, like, partially because of that reveal, I found most of them to be pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What I mean, you saying you enjoy it for the humor, but did you enjoy it in terms of character and plot, Ashley?
You know, I mean, there really isn't a lot of character development, obviously. And it's funny, as I'm reminding myself of the characters' names, which are, of course, all in quotes, all words like neck and grinder.
Yeah, they all have. Yeah, you can tell which one are the team, because they've all got nicknames.
Yeah.
Who the hell gets their nickname is neck?
I was really hoping they were going to explain the tripod nickname, because I mean, it's really only got one explanation. But I was figuring out
how wanted him at least say the guy's got a big dick and be out with it.
Yeah, with the number of dick jokes there were. That was the subtle dick joke.
There was a lot of dick jokes.
You know what? I laughed at no fewer than 10 of them.
Yeah.
I did. I don't know. You know, Grinder, who is played by
Joe Magnello?
Magnello? Oh. Anyways. I don't know. I think I start to kind of relate to his character quite a bit. Towards the end, unfortunately, it is kind of late in the game before I start kind of distinguishing between the team members. I mean, up until then, they're like all muscly guys, and there's a girl.
The only one
and I kind of forget which one's which. The and only then it's thing not until the end is they start to sort of flesh out.
You're right. And the only thing you know is the one you like the least, which I know for me was the girl because she was just horrible.
Yeah, she was a real bitch.
She's just a raging bitch to everybody. There's nothing to like about her. And she's even like they set up early on, she's a meth addict. And you're like, why is she on a DEA team?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. At first, I was like, that kind of bothers me that even in this group, she's the worst one. But then I was like, you know, I bet for a woman to have joined a team like that, she has to be like them, but to the, like, 10th degree.
Right.
And so they had to, like, just play it way up. But, yeah, she's a real bitch. But that's like, no one's going to like her.
I think, like the DNA that this is coming from, as JC talked about, like, shows like The Shield and that mm-hmm. sort of thing and Breaking Bad, they were so desperate to try and get that sort of grittiness and these type of darker characters that they just forgot they only had 2 hours to less than 2 hours to tell their story and never got around to giving them qualities to make them more likable. There's attempts here and there. I mean, like even Grindr, as you said, it's not till towards the end you start like respecting him a little bit because if for no other reason, he seems to be the only soldier who is just kind of flat out loyal, end of story.
Yeah, you know? And has some kind of moral center.
Yeah.
And balls to stand up for it. Like a lot of times, any other time a character sort of was gonna make a better choice or the right choice, Schwarzenegger's character kind of smacks him down and they take it, which is sort of funny because the whole idea of this crew is that they're big brawny dudes who do whatever they want. But
yeah, but even even the female characters, you're saying it's like, I agree with you that like conceptually, like, oh, she would have to try much harder to fit into this crew. But that being said, you compare Olivia Williams, who essentially is just playing a dude in this movie as well, and you start to go, they pretty much just wrote this for guy characters pretty much and then decided, well, we need to figure out a way to put some woman in here. We'll just change the dialogue around a little bit.
Yeah, there's nothing really special about it. I mean, we could have just started, I think, switching around the characters and the roles kind of across the board. There's there's not much to distinguish the actors that got assigned the roles that they did. Other than there's a possibility that she couldn't have played Grindr.
True. Or Tripod.
Or Tripod. what if she could? Ladies,
that would be strange.
Yeah. It's one of those. I was making a joke to a friend the other day. I think they sent out calls to Josh Holloway, Sam Worthington, and Taylor Kitsch, and the first two to answer the phone got the parts.
Right, right. Sorry, Taylor. What? I didn't even know. I want to work with Arnold. Too bad. Isn't your career over? Oh, okay.
Well, it's also kind of interesting that the hangout of these supposed federal DEA agents kind of looks like a haunted house and a Hot Topic had a baby. And it's just sort of like their pad.
Yeah, they have a clubhouse.
Which is pretty cool. But it does seem a little strange that the federal government would spring for that.
I feel like this movie really wants to grab that bro audience. In fact, it even self-references at points that it's going for the bro audience. Dude, you see the way that guy's head exploded? Schwarzenegger's the man. You know, if that's all you're looking for is that level of testosterone, there's some degree of this, but I felt like outside of some funny give and takes with dialogue between some of the characters here and there, it was largely just missing a sense of fun. I constantly felt kind of oppressed by this movie in some ways. I was like, I'm just waiting to have a good time watching this violence. And none of those scenes ever come off as the way you expect a Schwarzenegger film to be fun with the violence. Even The Last Stand, where it was very violent, the scenes when it did it were fun to watch.
Yeah.
Here I never had fun watching any of those scenes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would go back and rewatch The Last Stand before I'd probably rewatch this.
I don't know. Maybe I was, and I was hyper aware of the fact that I might have been come into this with some amount of expectation, certainly for a Schwarzenegger film. But, you know, halfway through the film, I was pushing past that and going, okay, you got to stop thinking about the film you were kind of expecting to see and think about the film you're seeing. And I still didn't like it.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things, like looking at the films that David Ayer has written, like he wrote SWAT, which is also a movie that I like. And I was kind of expecting a movie like that where it's like, you know, witty and fun. There's, you know, going to be a twist at some point. You know, SWAT ended up, I don't know, it may not have been rated R, but it certainly was not violent as this. And, you know, that was a lot more fun.
Yeah.
This never really quite grabbed me the way I wanted it to.
Yeah. No, it felt like it was.
What if Tripod offered?
If Tripod offered to grab you, you'd be like, I'm sorry, is that a gun in your pants or are you just happy to see me? Both. Well, let's go to final thoughts here. Ashley, what did you think about
this? Yeah, you know, the funny thing is I think I maybe liked it a little bit more than you guys, but to be fair, I really was going in expectationless. Like, I was expecting to go in and basically roll my eyes every few minutes. And so when that didn't happen, and some of the dialogue did kind of grab me, yeah, I mean, I was pretty okay with it. And so maybe a lot of it does have to do with the expectations that you're going in, because the characters were flat. And I do have to agree that the ending seems like it was almost the ending of a different movie that was tacked on, which is strange, because there's a moment, and when you guys see the movie, you'll know, where you're like, oh, I guess this movie's over then. And then it's like, wait, nope. And it's like this weird appendix from another piece. Yeah, reshoots. We have extra footage.
It's like, hey, Walter Hill volunteered to come in and film.
I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 Glocks.
Nice. JC?
Watching the trailers, I was kind of expecting a really fun, you know, sort of more with the team doing their actual job rather than what this ended up being. Of all the films that David Ayer is associated with, there are a lot more that you can go back and watch and have a better time with. With this one, never really quite grabbed me the way I wanted it to. But I still, you know, in the end, I didn't really hate it. It is extremely well written. It's just, you know, too many missed opportunities. It kind of goes all over the place. I would say 5 out of 10. Meth labs.
I feel like if you're going to make this kind of dark, gritty thriller, you have to get two things right. Your characters have to be really interesting, and your twists have to come out of nowhere. And I don't feel like it got either one of those things right, even slightly.
Not even when they were at the strip club?
Well, you mean like in the fact that people were twisting around?
Eh?
There were a lot of boobs in this movie.
There were so many boobs.
There were boobs all over the place.
There was a lot of boobs.
It was just boobage happening, yeah, left, right, and center. Well, not the girl from Total Recall. She wasn't in this, but yeah, she got it.
Okay. Makes me wish I had 3 more jokes to follow that up with.
I wish you had 3 more boobs to follow that up with.
Who doesn't?
Then she would have 5.
You know how many more hits we would get?
Dude, if I had 5 boobs?
Yeah. You'd be getting paid a lot right now. You'd be like, presenting movie reviews featuring the girl with 5 boobs.
I have boobs for radio is basically what you're saying.
Well, you'd be surprised how that makes a difference nonetheless. I don't know why, but it does. People
the
like,
world
man,
is twisted.
I love the radio show with that hot chick. It's a radio show. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I thought there was some nice punch up work, and there was some decent dialogue exchanges that were more funny than anything. But ultimately, I just didn't like anyone in this movie. And I found that even like the scenes, like, I'm the last person ever to say this, but the gore was excessive and gratuitous. I was like, why do they keep focusing on like people ripped open and their intestines all over the place? I don't want to see that shit. We get it. Move on. This isn't that kind of movie. Yeah.
Cartels hold grudges. Remember that angel from 8th grade.
I guess we'll be paying JC here too soon as well. But I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 severely atrophied muscles. That's a... Yeah. That's pointed at you, Arnold.
And remember, kids, seriously, don't do meth.
Yeah.
It'll make you an asshole. Everybody will hate you.
It's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
I suspect meth just makes people around you assholes. It's so powerful.
Yeah. But profitable.
Only if you're really good at making it.